Hello, and welcome to this half hour with Rowlett's Baptist Church. My name is Brother Dwayne Cook, and I'd like to invite you and your family to come join us every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for our Sunday school program, or every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. for our worship service, or maybe you'd like to come see us on Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. for our weekly Bible study. We really do appreciate so much the community around us. We appreciate the opportunity that we have as a church to minister to our community, to try to be a lighthouse that is shining in the darkness of this world for our community. And we just thank God for the chance. I'd like to take just a minute, if I could, and wish a happy anniversary to Mr. and Mrs. Bill and Ruby Richardson. Bill and Ruby have been married over 60 years. Isn't that amazing? Over 60 years Bill and Ruby have been married, and let's just continue to pray for them, lift them up. Miss Ruby will be celebrating another birthday on Monday the 25th, and we just kind of ask that you keep Miss Ruby in your prayers. She hasn't been feeling real well, haven't been doing the best, so we want to pray for her, lift her up to the Lord, that couple, Bill and Ruby. Like I said, celebrating anniversary on Thursday the 21st. I think a phone call or a card would be very appropriate there. And then her birthday, Miss Ruby's birthday, on Monday the 25th. So please keep them in mind in your prayers. And I want to talk to you a little bit as we continue to look at this book of Philippians, as we continue to try to talk a little bit. You see, I remember and I know this book is about joy. It's about thankfulness. It's one of the books that puts a lot of emphasis on joy. We know it was written by the Apostle Paul to the Philippian church. As a matter of fact, if you remember, that's where it derives its name from. It's from that Greek city Philippi. That's the first town in Macedonia where Paul established a church. Now, the unanimous testimony of the early church tells us that the Apostle Paul wrote the Philippians. Nothing in the letter would have motivated a forger or anything else to write it. It's absolutely a work of the Apostle Paul. And so here he is telling us, I want to start where we pick up where we left off last week in verse 12. Now, the Philippians were a group of people who were in a position to be able to exert a lot of power on those around them, because it was a town that was blessed with a lot of natural resources. It was blessed with a lot of wealth. There was a lot of trade that came through there. It was a crossroads of the world. It was a place that people would have come and gone, and there had been a lot of traffic in that area. And Paul's writing to a church that was under the danger, a lot of churches in our world today, it was under a danger of not much persecution, but a matter of fact, the biggest danger in a lot of our churches today is complacency. We definitely don't want to get complacent or get too comfortable with where we are. No matter what kind of growth that you see in your church, whether it be physical, whether it be spiritual, whether it be a numerous amount of things, maybe it's in your Sunday school, maybe it's in your youth group, maybe it's in your extra activities, but all those things won't amount to nothing if we just simply are not striving to further the kingdom of God. And we cannot get into the numbers game where we worry about the amount of attendance, we worry about the numbers on a Sunday school board. Well, it doesn't matter at all. What we must do is make sure that we're doing our part to further the kingdom of God. That doesn't mean that we're swapping sheep out there, that we go from one church to another, but we want to see people who have never known the Lord in their life. We want to see them come to a saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We want them to put their trust in what Jesus has said and try Him out. We want them to be able to say, yes, I've done these things the Bible said, and I found them to be true. Isn't that marvelous in your life when you look back over your life and you see so many times when you were downtrodden, so many times when you were heavy-hearted, so many times when you didn't know which way you turned, and all of a sudden the promises of the Bible begin to move in your heart. They begin to do something wonderful. And you can look back on those times and you have an actual cement grip on what God is actually doing. That's important. That's part of your testimony. And right here, Paul is using part of the testimony that was given to him through the trials and tribulations of his life in order to edify the church in Philippi. Verse 12, Paul said, "But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which have happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel." That is a remarkable verse. You know, Paul didn't leave an easy life. Didn't lead an easy life. As a matter of fact, Paul would have been beaten. Paul would have been persecuted by the people he formerly served with. Paul would have found himself ostracized from his community. He would have found himself no longer welcome in many of the places he was once seen as a rising star in the ranks of Judaism. As a matter of fact, Paul wants you to know that these things that happened to him, the beatings, the things where he was being left out, the things where he was being singled out, all those things happened for Paul to turn out for the furtherance of the gospel. Now that's remarkable because Paul was a man that underwent a lot of persecution. So verse 13, Paul said, "So it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ." Do you see what Paul's saying right there? Now listen. Paul's saying it's not Rome that holds me. It's not these soldiers and their spears that cause me to stand here day after day. But I have seen what an opportunity that I have in this place. I have seen that through what God has done in my life, He has put me here in a position to be a witness to those around me. And so even though the guards may think I'm being held prisoner, even though Rome itself may think it's got me in a position where I can do none of the harm that they thought I was doing in the first place when I really wasn't, but as a matter of fact, God has put me here so that I might be a witness to those around me. Do you know, I bet you there was not one palace guard that had not heard about the grace of the Lord Jesus through the lips of the Apostle Paul. You see, friends, the Holy Spirit had done a work in Paul's life. He had taken him from one that persecuted to one that was being persecuted to one that was being a witness to what God was doing. And so him who had formerly beaten on Christians, him who had formerly delivered Christians in the jail, now found himself apprehended, not by Rome, but he was apprehended for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I think it's great today that you and I must look around where we are and the position that God's given us today. It's a wonderful thing to be able to say, I'm not here in this position because of the bad choices that I made in my life. I'm not here because of fate. I'm not here because of what the world might say that I'm here because of. I'm here because God put me in this time and this place in order to be a witness for Him. Would you look around at the people around you right now? Would you begin to notice the faces that you come in contact with each and every day? Now, I want you to know that you are not there by accident. You are not there by happen chance. You are not there because of some decisions you made in your life. I believe and I earnestly preach that we are in the providence of God and that everything that happens in our lives, it happens because God intended it to happen that way. You cannot escape God's plan. Now, there are some options available to us. We can wholeheartedly, self-sacrificially follow after God with everything that we've got and see the blessings that come from serving the Lord in our lives. We can see others come to know Him by what we're doing. We can see all the world be changed around us because of the change that happened inside us. Or we can ignore those proddings of the Holy Spirit. We can simply live our life as we intended to, and our final destination will be the one that we were born to have. You see, men are born in a sinful state. And we must have an encounter with Christ in order to combat that state that we were born into. You must change your fate only through the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said the whole palace guard, those that came in and out every day, they were familiar with this man. I hope he got on some of them's nerves. I hope they said, oh goodness, I've got to go over to Paul today. I've got to go over there and hear about this guy named Jesus. That's all Paul wants to talk about. I had a friend of mine that had a lady in his physical therapy, and he give her physical therapy a lot, and he told me one time, he said, "Dwayne, she has Jesus'd me to death." Well, praise God. I'm glad for it. I wish that everybody that you came in contact with would just Jesus you to death. I wish that it was on quickly on the lips of every Christian about what God had done for them. Listen, if we all lived our lives trying to Jesus somebody else to death, wouldn't we see a greater impact? Wouldn't we see more people come to know the Lord? Wouldn't the world be a better place? So Paul said, the whole palace guard and to all the rest, that my chains are in Christ. Now look at verse 14. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. You see what happened right there? Paul is saying that there were others, Christians in this town. When I came in, I was arrested here in Rome. See, Paul would have written this letter from the Roman prison to the church there at Philippi. And he was telling, he said, Philippians, there are other Christians here around me. And thank God that God gave me the opportunity to edify them by the way I reacted. Watch this. By the way I reacted to my chains. Folks, listen. You will have a great impact on those around you by the way you react to your chains. Do you have a physical disability? Do you know you can affect those around you by the way you handle that? Maybe you have a mental impairity. Then God can use you in order to edify those around them. Do you know what I'm basically saying? Do you know how I'd like to boil this down just to the bare facts of it? Your faith builds the faith of others around you. The way that you handle circumstances that pop up in your life, they have a major impact on those that are watching you. What man or woman among us cannot watch one time the Special Olympics and see those people who have physical ailments, they have physical problems, maybe they have mental problems, but either way, they're out there in that field and they're striving for something. They're pushing themselves. They're giving it all they've got. And I dare say a lot of these major elite athletes could take a page out of the book from watching the Special Olympics and make themselves a little better, because those folks are doing it with all their heart, they're doing it with all their soul, and they're doing it for the joy of being able to do it. Friend, listen, don't go out and witness to your neighbor because your preacher told you you ought to. Go out and witness to your neighbor because the joy of the Lord is overflowing in your heart, because what God has done for you has overwhelmed you to the point where you can't stand not to tell them about it. It's all you can do not to wait till the next morning to get to tell somebody else about Jesus. It ought to be your overriding, over-controlling. It ought to make you just want to chomp at the bit to get out there and tell somebody about Jesus. Oh, that touches my heart to see people reach beyond their normal capabilities and to go farther than what they are to be able to do. And I'll tell you, that only comes from an empowering of the Lord. I believe God gives that as a gift. Paul said, "More my brethren have become confident by my chains and are much more bold to speak the word without fear." You see, Paul's difficult circumstances, his journey to Rome, his imprisonment there, they didn't do anything except further the gospel. You could look back for that furtherance. That'd be better translated for the progress. That refers to the forward movement of something. To the progress. Often it speak of armies. Armies moving, progressing, in spite of obstacles, in spite of dangers, in spite of distractions. Paul's imprisonment proved to be no hindrance to the spreading of the message of salvation. As a matter of fact, it created opportunities. So I want to ask you, you may not be sitting in a jail cell with bars surrounding you and guards checking on you. Maybe you're caught up in a bad relationship. Maybe you're in a job that has no joy to it and you dread going to it every morning. Maybe you have a broken home and the world around you is looking and watching and going to make a decision about Jesus by the way you react. I want to encourage you. Let me love you for just a moment. Friend, you make it a good witness. You remember what the Bible said in Romans chapter 8? All things work together for good to them that love God. I want the world to be able to look at your difficult circumstances and be able to see the grace of the Lord Jesus through the turmoil that you're going through. See, verse 13 again, Paul said that his chains are in Christ. Now, people around him recognized that Paul was no criminal, but he had become a prisoner because of the preaching of Jesus Christ and the gospel. That Greek word for palace, often it meant like a praetorian. It was a special building, and there was a special group of men. And Paul was a private house in Rome. The palace guard probably referred to members of that imperial guard. And I don't want you to think they were cut off. You see, here's what I'm trying to say. When Paul witnessed to those in around him, that witness didn't stop just with them. No doubt some of those men would have become believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they would have walked out of that place and they would have went to a home that was full of other people, and there they would have shared what Paul shared with them. You, friend, can be a rock thrown into a still pond. And that begins the ripples that make their way all across the surface of that water. And the decisions you make this next Sunday morning This next Sunday morning, you're going to wake up, and you're either going to wake up for the Lord or you're going to wake up for yourself. You're either going to lay in the bed a couple of extra hours and get up and waste away the day, or you're going to get up and make a conscious decision to go to the house of the Lord and show your family, show your friends, show your neighbors. Do you know it's a witness? When your neighbors see your car pulling out of the driveway at 9 o'clock, they know you're headed to Sunday school. You're witness to that neighbor through your actions. Friend, listen, don't waste this. Dads, your kids need to see you in church. Moms, your kids need to know that you're serving the Lord. Parents, there's more riding on your decisions than simply yourself. We must stop being so selfish and start thinking about those around us. You see, we don't live this life to ourselves. We live it to our children, we live it to our friends, we live it to our family, and we live it to God. You've been given a gift of life. When you open your eyes this morning, you were given a present. That's why they call it the present. And in order to make the best of it, you've got to allow God to work in it. Those moments, those times, those areas in your life that you don't have God, you must be the first to admit those are the most miserable places. But, oh, friend, when Jesus steps in, what a change He makes in our lives. Paul said some indeed, verse 15, Paul said some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely supposing to add affliction to my chains, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And in this I rejoice, yes, and I will rejoice. Do you rejoice in the fact that whether the people talk about it out of selfish ambition or adding affliction to your chains, or some maybe even out of love, regardless of what the motivation is, when people talk about your life, Christ is preached. Whether it be for the good or for the bad, I want to encourage you to always live for Christ, that your life may preach Him for the good. Will you close with me in a word of prayer? Father God, we thank You, dear Lord, for this wonderful book of Philippians. We thank You, dear God, for the promise of life that You've given us that goes on beyond this world and beyond this reality. Father, I pray that You might encourage families to begin serving the Lord in a church where they feel comfortable, in a church where they can truly serve. God, thank You so much for the blessings that You've bestowed upon this little congregation at Rallets. Thank You, God, for moving in their hearts and for helping them to allow me to be their preacher and their pastor. God, help us all to be better Christians. Help us all, dear Father, to lift up those around us that are hurting, to lift up those around us that, dear God, may feel left out. And Father, we just pray that You remind all of us of the forgiveness and the love that we find only in Jesus Christ. And it's in His name I ask these things. Amen. God bless you, friend, from Rallets Baptist Church.